Good morning. As you can probably tell, brought some croup and crud back with me from vacation. So Chris and I will probably kind of keeping our distance from everybody, just in case. But it's good to be home, good to be back. And we begin with the singing of our opening hymn, How Wide the Love of Christ.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 30th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Robert Clem. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 535, How Wide the Love of Christ, hymn number 535 found in the Lutheran service book. Brian and Pam Featon are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of their 44th wedding anniversary. Cheryl Hedrick is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of her parents, Hans and Viola Haywich's third wedding anniversary.
Please rise. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 809, Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 809 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
the Old Testament reading from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, that there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A catechetical review in regards to Christian questions and their answers. But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15:16 and in 1 John 2 and 5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him, John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2.
A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you should be burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for a reading from the Holy Gospel. A reading from Mark chapter 5. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brothers of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and he went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The sermon text for this morning, taken from today's Old Testament reading. "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust." As for the words of our text, please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, back in eighth grade, when I first thought, someday maybe when I grow up, I'd like to be a pastor, I could only think about telling people about Jesus, preaching about the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ's merit. I can tell you what I was not anticipating at that time. And actually, even all the way through the seminary, it didn't really click in my head, or I didn't understand it. But I wasn't anticipating pain and suffering. And I'm not talking about my pain and suffering. I'm talking about your pain and your suffering, the suffering of the people of God. I wasn't prepared for that. I don't know why I wasn't, because Jesus is very clear when he speaks to us. He says, "If they treated the master of the house in this way, how do you think they'll treat his servants?" And it's very clear that in this life we will have suffering. If I'd considered suffering at all, it was more along the lines of suffering to glory, kind of like a the 300 Spartans at the Battle of Thermopylae, or the Americans holding the city of Bastogne against the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge. You know, that kind of suffering, but suffering that leads to some kind of glory, some kind of accolade, some kind of, you know, pats on the back or something like that. But there's immense suffering in the world, and it's a different kind of suffering. And we have to face that fact. It's not random suffering either. It's real, real suffering. The suffering of real people, our family, our friends, our neighbors. It's that kind of suffering that reaches out and touches our lives individually or the lives of the people we know and love. And how do we address this? Now, our texts for today, the scripture texts for today, they drip, they ooze with suffering. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. To you, O Lord, I cry and I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence what is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. And then in the gospel, there is the woman with the constant flow of blood who no doctors could help. And then also there's Jairus, whose 12-year-old daughter lay dying. So many situations of suffering. And it doesn't take a great leap of imagination to figure out what these people were going through. What had touched their lives, what they felt like, how they cried out to God, how the tears and the pain of another person affected them in the most deepest and moving way. When suffering like that comes crashing into our lives, we seek to figure it out. Richard Iyer writes in his book, Pastoral Care Under the Cross, when attempting to justify the ways of God to a suffering person, we often say things that, you know, attempt to basically justify what's going on in their life. But what a person really needs to face, to face suffering rightly, is to stand justified before God. You see, you and I, we're not interested in the theoretical whys of suffering and the theoretical whys in the issue of evil. Rather, we are torn apart by what is happening to real people, to those whom we know and those whom we love. Christian attempts to justify the ways of God to a suffering world is, for example, to say things like this. God is just testing you to see if you'll remain faithful. This tries to justify God's ways, or at least explain them. And it's often followed by a holding out of a reward if you pass the test. If only you're faithful enough, then God will reward you with health and wellness. Your loved one will get better. They will leave the hospital on their own 2 feet or something like that. Sometimes someone might be bold enough to say, well, maybe God's punishing you for what you have done. And most of us would reject this comment on the surface out of hand, but it hits the suffering person at a deeper level because they know, you know, I could have lived a better life. Maybe I am being punished for something. Sometimes people try to justify suffering by saying something like, oh, God is trying to teach you a lesson, or God is disciplining you. Then there's probably one of the most insidious but well-meaning comments. God has a plan for you. Now, that's pretty fatalistic right there. An outlook that sets a plan as a static blueprint, oblivious to the moment-by-moment interactions that you have with God. You know, ultimately, there's only one plan you and I can be certain of. Just one, because we're not privy to the mind of God, except for what he has revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. There's only one plan that you and I understand and only one plan that you and I know, and that's the plan of salvation. That is the plan that God reveals to us in His Word, in the Holy Scriptures, and that's very important for us because I can't answer the why. I've not been given the knowledge to answer the why. The what, we understand what is. And we also know that we need to run to the Word of God and cling to the cross. We know the what, but we likely will never know the why. You see, the cross, like suffering itself, is a mystery. God has not met us so much in the cradle as He has met us in the cross. Through the suffering of Christ, God has made Himself known to us. And He says to you, I am the God who dies for you. And it's not a pleasant death. It is a death full of suffering. It is a death full of pain. It is a death that consumes the sin of the world. It is a death in which the Son of God is abandoned by His Father. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have You forsaken Me? It is a death, though, that defeats the power of sin, defeats hell and the devil. It is that kind of death. It is a death that shows the magnitude and the cost of sin, and then it brings us through right to the resurrection. As Isaiah writes, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, every one of us to his turn to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. So what is it that we know? What is it that we absolutely know? We know that Christ is with us in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our tears, in the midst of the pains that we feel. You're not alone. Jesus is right there with you. He who suffered and bled and died on the cross for you is with you each and every step of the way. That is what we know. And St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And Jesus' own words are recorded for us in Luke chapter 9. If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Jesus follows this up by later saying that anyone who does not carry his cross and follow Him cannot be His disciples. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to suffer as much as Jesus did. It also doesn't mean that we go out looking for crosses to bear. They will come to us quite naturally. But it does mean that the spiritual life has to do with suffering, defeat, weakness, and not merely the experience of ease and glory as we would like. To be frank and honest and blunt with you, I do not have any answer for the why of suffering. In fact, there's many whys I cannot answer. Why did God choose Abraham? Why did the Messiah come in weakness and not in power and glory? And many other whys, like why did God choose bread and wine? Why did He choose water for the sacrament of holy baptism? There are no pat answers to the question of suffering, and no new explanations for why God allows suffering to happen. So what can we say in the face of all of our suffering? Cling to the Word. Hold to the promises of God in the Word. The psalmist today follows up his words, O Lord, my God, I cry to You for help. He follows them up with, and You have helped me. He goes on to say, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the writer of Lamentations records for us, the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the great abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. The woman with the bleeding issue who went to Jesus, the Word made flesh, and then Jairus, both of them trusted in Jesus' word. And remember the centurion with the sick servant. He looked at Jesus straight in the eye and said, I am a man under authority, and I know what it means to have authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. So Jesus, you merely say the word, and my servant will be healed. You also think in your minds of Daniel, and Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, all of those who trusted God, never knowing the outcome of the fiery furnace or the lion's den. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so we close with what Paul writes to the Corinthians in his admonishment to look to Christ. That though he was rich for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Therefore, in your sufferings, and I have no doubt in my mind and my heart of hearts that you have them, in your sufferings, look to the suffering servant and know that you are not alone. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for the singing of the Te Deum Laudamus. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we know that there is suffering in the world, and it often touches our fellowship of Christians in both large and small ways. We know that suffering is a part of life in this fallen world, and we ask that you would use whatever suffering we encounter to mold our lives to the shape of the cross. Grant to us that our sufferings lead us to both a deeper prayer life and a greater use of your word, trusting that you will not give us more than we can bear, and that though you do not desire our suffering, you will use it and turn all things to the good of those who love you. And in all our sufferings, O Lord, may we remain faithful to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayers, good Lord, for those among us who are beset with the infirmities of mortal life. We pray for Judy Hazley's son-in-law, Raymond, asking that his gallstones pass and that he be relieved of his other medical issues. We thank you for Shirley Dittus' successful surgery and ask that her healing process go well and her leg be swiftly strengthened. Also, do we ask you to hear our prayers on behalf of Lori Bishop's family members, Kurt and Quincy, as Quincy has had surgery on her preborn child. We thank you for such great technology that allows surgery in utero, and we ask that Quincy and her child be strengthened for a full-term pregnancy and birth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty and most merciful God, as we approach the celebration of our nation's independence, we thank you, the author and defender of our liberties, for your graces upon our people and upon our land. Then, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. And this be our motto: in you, O God, is our trust. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty Lord, hear our prayers for our congregation. You have set us as your people in this place. You have given us a house of worship and a school in which to educate our children. And we pray you in your mercy to preserve these things among us, so that your word would dwell ever richly in our midst, and that many would hear and believe the words of repentance, forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
We continue now with the singing of the Kyrie. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Heavenly Father, during his earthly ministry, your Son Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the Word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, whose infinite power alone does great wonders, send down on your ministers and on the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, and that they may truly please you, pour on them the dew of your continual blessing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
The closing hymn is hymn number 782, Gracious God, You Send Great Blessings, hymn number 782 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Megan, you have an announcement about this afternoon's cleaning, if you'd like to come to the lectern.
Good morning. As you guys remember, this Sunday at 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., we are going to be doing a church outdoor-indoor cleaning, and then we will have pizza and some other things for supper afterwards. We would appreciate your help, and that would be great. As far as the school, we decided not to clean or do any work out at the school today. Because of the floor being waxed and some other projects, but that will be done at a later date this summer.
Thank you, Megan. Also, many of you probably heard already or know that Lillian Hines passed away last week, her funeral. Lillian was 105 years old, and I think it was between Lillian and Verna Mason. Verna's 105, I believe, also, so it comes down to birth date as to who was the oldest member of our congregation. But Lillian passed away this week, and her funeral is tomorrow here at the church. The visitation for Lillian is from 10 to 11 here at the church tomorrow morning, and then the funeral is at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning here at the church. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.